Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host David Von Strawn. And now, here's David.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday. It is May the 20th. It is 10 o'clock, and that means you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. And my lovely loquacious lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones is not here. She's got a migraine. Oh, poor baby got a headache. Stay in there, rest up. But I do got my man Clinton. He's on the boards, as always. He's the EP, executive produciore. Y'all didn't know I knew Italian. So, I just wanted to throw that out there. How you feeling, Clinton?
I'm feeling good, David. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. I don't want to take any more time. I mean, No. There's no reason to be.
Do we want to give them that mic so they can have each their own mic and you and I share this one?
I can do that.
Let's roll. I think of this as your mic.
Well, I think of it as our mic.
Oh, wow.
And also, people can't see me. Well, I kind of prefer it for it to be, but then people can't see me in the feed. And I got the feed working, Leslie, so I don't need you to do it for me all the time. I'm a big boy. I can do it all by myself. Thank you.
We shall see.
Home training. So, I'm going to switch it over. I'm going to slide this mic over to our lovely guest. And they will both each have a mic of their own. There, Eileen French. And Daniela.
Virginia Woolf would have written, yeah, if she had been born.
We're just going to get Clinton's arm out of the shot. Eileen French and Daniela Chadwick here from the McGuffey Art Center and McGuffey's Incubator Studio. Eileen French is here to promote the Art Movie Night series going down. May 24th is the next Art Movie Night. And it's going to be a blast. How you doing, Eileen?
Great. Thank you.
Talk about it. What are you showing?
Well,
Pirates of the Caribbean.
I love that movie.
This Thursday.
The first one. Everything else is crap. I'm just kidding. No. Well, can we build into it? Okay. Can we build into it? So yes. So you do have an art movie night. So I wanted to talk about first, like, how long you've been doing the art movie night, because you are an established artist here at our revered McGuffey Art Center. Shout out to McGuffey Park, where I chilled at during A12. Nice haven to be at, and it provided me with a lot of space at that time.
Shout out.
Always got to shout it out. Never forget. But yeah, McGuffey Art Center. Talk about it. How you've changed the face and the ideas and the aspects and how you've basically made it a place of your own there.
Okay.
Great. I'm learning the art of, like, just hyping people up without their, like, expectation. And like, wait, I did all that? Really? No. But go on.
All right. Well, I've been a member of McGuffey for about 6 years now, and I was lucky enough to be on the council. We kind of govern ourselves. The year that a lot of talk was going around about the incubator studio, about how we wanted an incubator studio. We didn't have one until 4 years ago. I guess I'm jumping away from the movie.
It's okay. We'll get back to that.
Okay. So we got really lucky, and we emptied out an entire studio and made it available for 6 incoming emerging artists. We've made it a yearly program. They come in for 1 year, and their rent is pretty low because 6 of them share the spot that usually 2 do. And we get them all integrated into McGuffey. They do... our committee, they do the same committee jobs that we do, which is gallery, hanging the shows, learning how to set up a show and get everything, the lighting and the labels, and then there's openings, serving the wine and for the openings, and various jobs, community relations. We have a lot of events they get involved with. And while they're doing all of that, they're meeting the other artists and getting integrated.
So it's like mini McGuffey.
It's mini, like, yeah,
McGuffey in
McGuffey
training.
McGuffey school. And it's really been a great program.
I look for the radio for a radio listener. Danielle is sitting there nodding her head. Oh, yeah. It's just like that.
It's the best thing that ever happened to me, so I'm all good.
So we're going to get to the Incubator Studio because this is big and I want to talk about this. But I also want to talk about this art movie night and, like, the Art 21 exclusive, like, investigation opening to the series that you're showing, because I think that Art 21 specifically, and you can actually catch it on YouTube. It's got 66,000 subscribers. Okay. I suggest that y'all subscribe and like it because it has a really it's a small, short documentary type.
1 hour, 55 minutes.
Yeah, vignettes. Like that, yeah. Of artists doing their thing. And I was talking about this before we opened the show. I think that what Art 21 does is a little bit different from your average art documentary, which focuses more on the pieces that people are doing rather than the artist. And because I believe that all three of the artists that you're featuring in this investigation movie are studio artists. Like, they work primarily in a studio, as if they were going to an office.
The photographer, you're a photographer. Would you say that you're...
There's probably field work.
Yeah.
But he brings it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you still have to develop it at the end of the day. So what I'm trying to say is these are people that are in these are no, like, weekend warriors by any aspect.
No.
These are people like these are actual, like, artists that are entrenched in their work, that do it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And these also train and teach and instruct other artists and fellow artists to do the same. And what I think is cool about this series is that it talks more about the artist and how they come upon the pieces that they make. Would I be accurate in that?
Yeah, it really gets in their head, and they have a lot of opportunity to talk about how they've come up with what they're working on, and it's always so fascinating. I'm always so impressed by how intelligent these people are. Their thought process is really clear in these shows, and I always come away feeling a little like less than, but it's really inspiring to see the process.
Yeah, a common misnomer is, like, that everybody thinks that every artist is Jackson Pollock, that they're needlessly, like, throwing stuff at it. And even when Pollock was doing it, he did it with intention. But, like, none of this work is unintentional. And all of these artists just go at it with such great intention behind what they want to do and how they want to create it. What brought you to Art 21, and what decided you to, like, unveil it and bring it to Charlottesville?
Well, Sam Gray, who was on the show last year, she was an incubator only just last year. We have a new FIM group, Feminist Union of Charlottesville Creatives, and one of our meetings, we got together.
That's an interesting acronym.
Yeah, it's on purpose.
You just figured it out.
I know it's on purpose. and I give kudos to that.
I'm such a prude, I didn't say that.
That's awesome.
They laugh at me because I can never say it. I always have my own version of it.
I don't think you can say it on the show either.
Okay.
But we appreciate that.
But continue. They showed an episode at the Vinegar Hill. Well, I don't know what it's called now. Lighthouse at Lighthouse for us for one of our meetings, and I just got a spark and thought, well, I'm just going to do this for the incubators every month to get them, you know, their ideas going, get their brain going, because you know, sometimes you can sit in a studio and get lost, and it's really nice to have some ideas coming at you like that. So I had set it up just for the incubators, and then I thought, no, I'm going through all of this effort. I'm going to open it up not only to McGuffey but to the public. And it's been kind of only started since last August, so it's getting its momentum up. And I was doing it inside. We have a little hangout space upstairs, a new
lounge
that
we fancy.
We have really been lucky to get set up really nicely with sofa, chairs, rugs, and
chilling in the art lounge.
Yeah. And I have a nice projector. So it that was pretty cool. We were doing that in the evenings once a month, and I've been waiting for the warm weather to get outside.
Yeah. So and is this going to be the first art movie night that's actually outdoors?
Yes.
That's
the
plan?
My vision is bigger than it should be, but I envision...
No, dream big, dream high. That's how you do it.
Hundreds out there on the lawn with food trucks around, beer truck, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be...
You got to have beer here at Charlottesville.
But, I love the idea of that. Like, make that an event.
Good.
A little artistic carnival there.
Yeah,
to see documentaries on art. Are you gonna broadcast the movie? Or is it broadcasting? Are you gonna put the movie, you know, on the wall of McGuffey, or are you gonna shine it on the restaurants that are right next to you?
I have a pretty big screen.
Project. That's the word I was looking for.
Project. That would be cool.
Once you get older, the words they don't always come. They're truculent. They're like, no, I don't want to come. You can choose a word that's similar but not exactly accurate.
I'm lucky. I have a really nice projector that can really project large. So as big as the screen is, I can project. So I'm thinking a lot of people could see it. If I could get a lot of people, a lot of people could see it.
I think it's pretty cool to see, like, a community watch the same thing, too. It's really hard to get a bunch of people to sit down and, you know, just learn together in the same moment. So I think that's probably...
Me and a friend were just actually talking about what happened to the drive-in theater.
Yeah.
And that type of atmosphere and all of that. I miss that, and I miss that opportunity. And, like, I remember doing Much Ado About Nothing at the Hamner, and then we did some outdoor shows, too. So it kind of shows, like, yeah, when people are outdoor and they're in a tight space and they share the same experience, there's a different experience to that. Exactly. Whereas it's like, when you see a movie with a whole bunch of people as opposed to, like, by at home by yourself, where you can analyze it and critique it and stuff like that. So it brings this more, like you said, like carnival, like, you know, excitement and feel. And we're going to go to weather.com during our break and check the weather on May 24th, see how it is. It's going to be amazing.
If not, we're going to
have a buttload of umbrellas, and it's going to be off the chain, because everybody's got a nice umbrella in Charlottesville.
There you go.
Freaking hipsters.
We're not going to talk about that.
Really? I hate umbrellas.
No, it's like rain on a wedding. It's luck, right?
Isn't that ironic?
No. Don't you think?
It's pro tip. That's not irony. No, so, so doing the theater that we've done and doing outdoor theater, it's having that experience. We're going to talk about venues. But having that experience where people are outdoors, but all watching one thing. It's an interesting situation, because it's the and also having been in the audience, it's this weird sort of hybrid experience. Or at least I feel that I'm pulled in two directions, basically, because if I'm watching something, if I'm with a bunch of people, either watching a movie or watching a play, I'm used to being in a closed, controlled, tight space where, you know, they shut down extraneous sensory inputs so you can really focus on what's going on.
Yeah.
But when you're outdoors, there's all of this stuff that's going on around you, and at the same time, this thing you should be focusing on. It's a weird experience, but it's kind of fun.
I remember a plane going by once, like, during a big monologue of mine, and I was like, focus.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, no, this is in no sense mean to deterring you. I think it's going to be a great experience. We're leaning toward that, you know, as Charlottesvillians. I think we like open spaces where we can drink our beer and park our stroller and just chill.
And pet our Nazis.
Wait,
he
we
said
can
it not me.
Our dogs too,
but
yeah,
I agree.
Right? Of course.
and just, like, you know, just sit and enjoy the gently rolling foothills and the artwork of the city at the same time. So I think it's a great thing to do. Are we ready for a drop?
We can do it if you want.
Yeah, because I do. I want to talk to Daniela about this incubator studio, and Eileen as well, about how that came to be and your experiences in that, because I think that's really awesome. I'm going to pull this Black Fly out my Chardonnay, and then we're going to pay some bills. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, this is Chloe Esther, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
Almost 16 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm with Eileen French of McGuffey Art Studios, and I am with Danielle Chadwick of McGuffey's Incubator Studio, which is kind of all the same thing, if you really think about it.
Yep.
Why compartmentalize?
Right.
One team, one dream, baby.
There you
go. That's what I say.
Exactly.
But we just got done talking about R21 and the exclusive artist that you'll be showing at Art Movie Night. Again, R21 YouTube, like it, subscribe it, check it out, and then check out the movie that's going on that Eileen's popping. But Daniela, I want to talk to you about this incubator studio thing, because when you say incubator, it sounds like enriching, empowering, putting you in the environment so that you can learn your stuff. Clinton wants to say something because he's itching my shoulder very rough.
And for longtime fans of Homegrown, we had Samantha Gray on here as when she was in the incubator studio.
And she's completely blossomed.
Yes, yes. She's our little rock star.
She's a grown individual.
Yes. She already was.
Yeah. I just met her. So.
Danielle, you, however, they still, you know, reach inside the box and with plastic gloves and choose to mold into shape.
You were saying how we get to be in the middle of it, so we have the opportunity to be with these experienced artists and who I admire their work. Every time I get to know them and spend more time with them, I mean, I'm blown away by their work.
Right.
So it totally motivates me to get establish a schedule and a process for my art, which some artists, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to do when you're emerging or a younger artist to get those, like the agenda and the routine.
Right on.
So. And go ahead. So, do you find that's important? Because talking about impressions that people have of artists, one of the impressions, especially studio artists, one of the impressions that people have of artists is like, oh, there's no way they're about schedules. Oh, everything is up. It's everything's about impulse. Everything's about.
When I feel like it. Like, I wake up at 2 o'clock in the
day. That's hard work.
I don't have the inspiration right now. But wait, my cup is fallen. Now I have the inspiration. I must work, and I will work all night until I take that last cigarette, and then I'm done. But do you find that it's important, that it's helpful to have like a set schedule and have some rigor?
Well, it's good to be flexible because sometimes you don't know where your art will take you and you can't be in control of it all the time. But I think in order to even evolve your skills of just like drawing, or you need to practice something every day to get better. So you do want to establish, you know, it's like playing the piano. You want to do it, I don't know how many hours a day, but it's the same thing with painting and sculpture.
What did they say, 15, 30, something like that? I don't know. There's like an actual, like 20,
number.
I think it's like 20.
Yeah.
Like, because they say, so writers, like you write like 20 minutes a day or something, no matter if you feel like you have something to write about or not. Like you do it regardless.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. So what's your choice of medium? So what do you do in terms of art?
Good
Daniela?
Question. Well, I...
Or what's... Yeah, I would say what's your top three or what's your big thing?
Well, I got into the incubator with my painterly photographs. So that was kind of... That is my
Elaborate shit. On that. Mm-hmm. Do you paint photographs or you photograph paint?
Well, so now I'm... So it's kind of two different experiences. One was... So my photos look painterly. A lot of people come to my work and they're like, is that a photo or a painting? And
that's dope.
So that kind of begs the question, does it really matter? But so I think that's interesting about my work. It creates that dialogue.
And you do it with Photoshop or with actual like acrylics?
No. It's a photograph. It's a photograph with my digital camera. But I guess the way my eye sees like the details, it brings out, I think, painterly aspects that people usually don't see.
See, now I gotta see it.
Yeah, you really should see it.
Now I gotta check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. But now the next step is actually digitally painting on my photographs. So that's where I'm trying to take, if I get in McGuffey, that's where I want to take my work. So
when you get in McGuffey?
She's applying right now.
Yeah,
there's an application process happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So... But,
yeah.
The incubator program just awakened me.
That's great.
So I'm so grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd you hear about it?
So I've been dating a local for over 5 years, mm-hmm. and it was a long distance relationship.
That's always a dangerous thing. Somebody should have warned you. Dating a Charlottesville local—they'll suck you in.
I couldn't resist.
Amen. But love prevailed, and they're together now, and that's what's important.
Well,
people said it wouldn't work, didn't they? They said it wouldn't work. They said it wouldn't last. They were like, you're just wasting your time. But no, we're here together. It's beautiful.
Actually, that's true.
And I just want to say that love exists. And believe in love. Continue.
Anyway, so the first time, I was never in Charlottesville. Like, I, you know, in high school, everybody was like, Dave Matthews Band. And I was like, I'm a raver,
exactly.
So it's not relevant to me. But so the first time I visited him in Charlottesville, he drove me to McGuffey. And he's like, there's some dope artists here. You should work
always
there. So my 5-year plan, I guess, was getting in there.
I actually dated a person that did stuff in McGuffey, so it's like full circle. Yeah, they hook you in. So yeah. So
we're having the open house.
Yeah.
Friday, June 1st,
right.
That we're working on right now for the Incubator Studio to show it off.
Yes, and I'm hoping the flyer will come off like that. It's a party, so. We should have a lot of fun.
Cool.
So the more the merrier.
Yeah.
And we just pulled some of your stuff up here.
Oh, cool.
And you are the one in the top right corner.
Let me see. What are you looking at?
The Incubator Studio on the website.
You moved it.
Oh, and we should mention the other incubators.
Yeah.
So,
there's other incubators?
Yes, and they're
brilliant.
Well,
you're not in it, so they're not. No, I'm just kidding. Talk about it.
So there is Heather Owens, who does these, like, magical.
She's in here too. I'm seeing butterflies.
Yes.
That's really nice.
She's very influenced by
that. Looks like
Japanese
painting.
Animation.
Mm-hmm.
So is Preston, I think. And Preston does a lot of character studies.
Mm, I see that.
And
he's in the corner with the track star.
And Jolene does textiles. She has a loom in our studio, which is awesome.
She has a loom?
She fit a loom in there.
We've got another person we've got a couple of loomers.
Yeah, we do.
In the building.
Loomers and bloomers. Blooming at looming.
How's the studio? There's a looming feeling to the
we
whole
have
thing.
We have Andrea.
Yes, and then Andrea, who does painting oil, right?
Yeah.
And Allison does watercolors and oil.
She's doing oils right now, too.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So talk about what it's like to share a studio with five other artists. I mean, how big is this studio, or how big isn't it?
And how many must die before you succeed?
I think it's a huge space.
It is 900 square feet, more or less.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big space.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm glad I remembered that. Yeah, it's pretty big.
Big windows. We got the school windows, so there's much light.
But seriously, what's that like? Because usually artists are insular. Well, that's another common misnomer. I know I am, but when I do art, I'm insular. When I'm learning my lines for anything, I don't want to be helped. I just want to do it on my own. Like, I just want to focus on my own stuff, and I don't want anybody else around. Like, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of an introvert, too, but with age, I'm like trying to really get feedback from other people, because I'm so in my head all the time that other people's feedback is just brilliant. So, especially being a photographer, I love being exposed to other mediums, because I'm a polymath. I think I like to work in all mediums, so it's really nice to have the influence of all these different mediums in one room. It just, for me, it's very motivating and inspirational.
Right. So, I don't want to, like, throw any type of, like, toxic masculinity in there, but it's like, is there any, I think it happens with women, too. Is there any, like, competition or any, like, hardcore thing? And then, because, you know, some people, like, get to advanced or some sort, like, after this. So, like, is there a feeling of competition? And, like, you look at somebody's stuff and you're like, damn, that's good. You know, or something like that. Like, I don't mean to delve into negative,
no,
but, like,
I,
you know what I'm saying?
I completely understand. I mean,
because
think
you're not all going to become McGuffey artists, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
there can only be two, maybe three.
We've had a pretty good track record. But,
I mean, you get the people you get to meet are just wonderful anyway, so it doesn't, you'll always have those people in your life, you know, it seems like. But I think it's healthy competition. Like, I know that. Like, Heather totally made me want to roar when I first met her. Aww. I mean, I was really inspired by her stuff. And then, and Jolene, who works with textiles, like, it's just so cool. And instead of competing, you kind of want to work with everyone and have your own new projects with these people. So I think it's a healthy competition.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that this experience has changed you as an artist? Do you think it's changed the work that you've done, like physically, like tangibly? Do you think that it's changed you, like emotionally? Like you said, it's gotten you out of your box. It's, you know, it, you know, you see other people, it pushes you. Like, has it kind of changed the processes that you go through?
Yeah.
And or you as a person?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I am trusting myself and my ability of what I can do, which is, I think, a hard part to get to for some artists. Some artists are confident and they think they're the bomb and everything's awesome. But for me, I go through these Pixie valleys and I'm like, oh, I'm awesome, but then, oh no, I suck. So being around a lot of other people just helps build your confidence in yourself that, and you show people yourself. Like, I think it's very hard to show and be vulnerable, and that's what this experience gave me, is, you know, a safe place.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a really poignant place to have, because you need to feel safe in the place that you work. And Eileen, I'm going to throw it back to you. Like, in taking a part of, like, just visualizing the incubator, like, work from the outside, like, what changes have you seen in the people and what they produce? Talk about it. What do you see?
Oh, I love seeing people just get reignited. I think, or it just occurred to me recently that I really wish I could have been in the incubator studio. I had to kind of come up with, construct my own incubator. But there, it's really, life can just pull you in so many different directions, and art is such a discipline, and it's so easy to get out of it. And it's so nice to see people really be given the time and space to do it, and what can happen is really exciting. Mm-hmm. It has happened for 4 years. It's been really, I feel really great about it.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to say, as a Charlottesvillian, all the times I've been at the McGuffey Art Center, I've had a super blast, and I've seen great stuff. Art Movie Night, May 24th. It's going down outside. So family friendly, of course.
Family
bring
friendly,
your kids.
8 p.m.
I know we got to wrap it up, but is there anything else that you want to talk about McGuffey-wise before we do so?
Or Daniela, when we get to see an exhibit of yours.
Yes, yes.
And get the tickets for free.
I don't know. I mean,
July 1st.
Yeah, July 4th. All right. Yeah. We have our show July 1st. The incubators have their show.
The doors will blow open. It's going to look like Black Friday. Like, they're just going to rush it. It's not great.
Yeah, the incubators have a good section of the summer members show to show off what they've done this year.
I think we're kicking butt this year.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. And yeah. Then the open house June 1st is also to showcase them in their studio.
So maybe galleries can come and look.
So do you want to come back on before July 1st and talk about your upcoming show?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's got to happen, don't you?
Clinton likes scheduling future shows as we're doing
right
the present
on the show. But yes,
right now.
Yes.
But yeah, I just want to end on the note of, you said something really poignant and important about reinvigoration, and I think we all need to do that in every craft that we do. We kind of have to take a step back at what we're doing and kind of see, how am I benefiting from this? How am I benefiting from this? How is it helping me? And yeah, I just hope that when people come to Art Movie Night on May 24th, they get reinvigorated and they feel like seeing art and doing art again, because we're all artists in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. We all just don't want to admit. Eileen French, Daniela Chadwick, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
To the show.
Ooh.
We're going to see you again. We're going to see both of y'all again. It's okay.
Maybe.
Cool. All right. So we're going to commercials. Yes, here's some of the artistic events that are happening this week. Currently running through June 10th, the American Shakespeare Center spring season sees their Wicked Folly Tour return to the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. They're performing an adaptation of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility, Bill Kane's Equivocation, and Macbeth.
Taming of the Shrew by Shakespeare.
Hey, somebody else is doing Macbeth later on.
Currently running through June 3rd, The Liar at Life Arts Theater. Amazing cast. Amazing production. Last Chance, Avenue Q at Four County Players. Get your puppet on. Today, Betty Joyce Nash leads the Writer's Lens Workshop, where she explores how everyday scenes can become your subject at the Charlottesville Writer House. May 22nd, the UVA Fralin Art Museum offers Toddlers in Artland, where museum educator Emily Lazaro introduces parent and toddler pairs to big ideas in development theory through playful practice strategies. I couldn't read that any slower, and I still messed up on it. May 22nd, Lighthouse Studio, Vinegar Hill Theater, continues their Vinegar Hill 76 film series with a showing of The Outlaw Josie Wales. It will always be Vinegar Hill Theater. Let's just put it that way. May 24th through September 9th, Nagungunny. Old techniques remain strong. Exhibition of paintings on eucalyptus bark. Yeah, well, there's going to be no bugs at that.
And you keep those away from koalas, because you can't let koalas on that art.
Keep your marsupials at home, ladies and gentlemen. From the West Daly region of the Northern Australia at the Kluge Root Aboriginal Art Collection, May 24th through January 27th, Reflections, Native Art Across Generations, an exhibition of the work of several contemporary Native American artists at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. May 24th, Laugh Your Ass Off, Comedy Night by the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, hosted by Chris Allen. It's just weird how you get from something like Gravitas from Native American artists to Laugh Your Ass Off. It's just, it's a hard right. It's just all I'm saying. May 24th, musician and sound artist Paige Naylor leads a workshop on using sound to find personal and interpersonal connection as part of the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative Deep Listening Series. May 25th, Penn Theater Comedy, Improv at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. May 26th and May 27th, Virginia Hot Glass Festival at Sunspot Studios, glass blowing.
Hot glass.
Hot glass.
Got the hot glass.
That's her. That's the flame from the hot. May 26th. Artist Golar. I just had a loogie too. Golar Hogtalub. 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 That's why you have that. Leads the workshop Mindful Art, A Brief History of Purple, exploring how the color purple is not really a color. At the Common House. Really now.
That's what it says.
That's all right. That's your main thing. That's where you're going.
Have to go to find out.
Alice Walker is going to be pissed.
May 26th, New Dominion Bookshop, once more hosts an evening of poetry, this time with Paul Guest and DC's David Keplinger. And for your music options this week, today, our favorite friends, the Lua Project at Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Also, Mojo Pie, what's up, at Glasshouse Winery at 3 p.m. Also today, Holly and Eric Henderson at James River Brewing Company at 3 p.m. The Nelson County Community Orchestra today presents a spring concert of Andrew Lloyd Webber music, Phantom of the Opera, at the Rockfish Valley Community Center. On May 22nd, Bill Sanderson is at Dirty Nellie's. DJ Angel Metro does Goth Night at the Jefferson Theater. On May 23rd, Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby at the Whiskey Jar. On the 24th, this week's Box Lunch Noontime Concert at Christ Episcopal Church downtown features the return of classical banjoist John Bullard. Saw him last year. If you can take a half an hour on Thursday to check that out, it's classical banjo. It actually works. It's a very cool thing.
I'm sure he like shreds.
He goes to town.
Yeah.
He's just like, what he can do with a Bach. Oh, lovely. May 24th, Scott Ward plays an outdoor patio party at Tavern on the James. Also, Toucan Jam at Dirty Nellie's. On the 25th, the Oratorial Society of Virginia holds its 50th anniversary gala concert at UVA's Old Cabell Hall, featuring Mozart's Mass in C Minor and the world premiere of The World Called by Aldulfus Hailstork.
on the 25th, also Red and the Romantics lay down their
That's
dance floor.
That's not a real person.
That is a Adolphus Hale Stark. He came to me the other night.
He came to me in a dream.
Red and the Romantics lay down their danceable, poetic Americana roots music at the Spring Pavilion for Fridays After 5. May 25th, Rockfish Gap at Blue Mountain Brewery. Don Hancock at Wayland's Crossing Positive Collective at the Front Porch Roots Music School. On the 26th, Free Union has their EP release concert with Richmond's Future Prospect and DJ Harrison at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. Jelly Street Jazz at Albemarle Cider Works. Also on the 26th, Dayton, Virginia's Brian Elijah Smith and the Wild Hearts play Alt Americana at Jefferson Vineyards. Then you got Midlife Crisis performing their collection of country folk and oldies at James River Brewery, Studebaker Huck at the Whiskey Jar, and Gabriel Planas at Fellini's every Monday, of course. It's the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. And then Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, their weekly open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Where else? Also on the Monday, Red and the Romantics at Whiskey Jar, the Singer-Songwriter Night at Local on Tuesdays, the Traditional Irish Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero. Oh, no, you can't not stereo at the Bebedero.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday. Open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Boom!
DJ and friends at the Bebedero.
Boom!
Stone Rollin' at the Shabin Pub and Bry.
Rollin'!
And the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Bow.
There are friends Lua on Thursday at the Bebedero, and every Thursday,
John Durth!
With the John Durth Quintet at Miller's, because every once in a while you just got to come down to Durth.
And those are just only some of our wonderful artistic events in our wonderful artistic town.
Hello, this is Craig Jennings. You are listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
Also, like
37 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton. We up in the studio. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, talking about the latest in national real estate news. I was thinking natural real estate, like he's just in a tree.
Really, we specialize in holistic real estate. All of, so there's so much chemical real estate going on.
There's so many leaves out there. You really don't need bedding these days. It's just, it's all natural. Come, walk with me through this forest for a while. Here's the living room, and...
And breathe. And feel the trees and the leaves.
And here's the bathroom, and breathe. But don't breathe so hard. We're just joking. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, and he's actually talking about real houses. But our guest is Miller Murray Susan. She is a local author and theater artist. Local Arthur. Author and theater artist and head of Jambalaya.
See, we can only pronounce one word correctly per statement.
Yeah. But you did the right one.
Yeah.
I'm
just looking for a 90th percentile at every at every show. As long as I don't screw it up majorly, it's an A. But I usually screw it up at some point. Fragments of the Future.
Yeah.
Celebration and award ceremony. Do I need a drum roll? Like, do we have finalists?
Do we have finalists? We have winners.
Have winners. Well, I thought you don't unveil it until today at 2:30 at the New Dominion Bookstore, right?
They have been unveiled because they've been invited.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool. Yeah. But we can blow them up. We can hype them up here on the regional bandwidth of 94.7 WPVC. That'll be heard. But we got it on Facebook, so it's going to be heard all over the world.
That's awesome.
8,000 people share our show, and it goes viral. It would be beautiful. But yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Who won?
Okay. So, first I'll give you a little background on Jambalaya as a publication. So the Village School it's not the Village School. It's Village School. So I've already messed up my spiel and I'm the worst.
Jambalaya!
Village School is an all-girls middle school, grades 5 through 8, here in Charlottesville, founded by Jamie Noor and Prol Hartwell. Fun fact, Prol Hartwell was my personal English teacher.
What?
Back at Charlottesville High School. In the day, as they say.
And, back in the day. Do they still say that? Or did they just say in the day, back in the day?
Only
did
people,
they just say back in the day, back in the
only
day?
Only people who would
only
say back in the day.
To be back in the day, say back in the day.
Precisely. So,
those kids don't even know about back in the day because they ain't been back in the day. They'll have their own back in the day. It'll be like way back when or here in the past or some new hip saying, but we say back in the day.
I was going to make some joke about the kids not knowing anything, but actually the kids are amazing. And they know everything.
Right on.
So Prol was my Oh Captain, My Captain English teacher.
Wow.
Yeah. He was like my guy.
The one that like shaped everything, totally. Kind of made you.
Encouraged me
the
so much.
Educator that you are right
now. Yeah. Really like took an interest and just helped me to become a better writer and better person. So then I went away to college and then I lived far, far away and was never, ever going to return to Charlottesville, Virginia. And then,
that's what I said too.
And then I had children and here we are. So then when my daughter was middle school age, well, we had to go check it out and, Village School is doing wonderful things for the girls in this community. It's been a really special experience for my daughter, who is now in eighth grade. So about 2 years ago.
So let's take a moment.
Let's unpack that.
Let's take a moment and unpack that. So what are the benefits that you see of having your daughter in this all girl student atmosphere?
So I will answer just from my perspective. This is not from the official. I teach drama at Village and I am the faculty advisor for Jambalaya. So I'm also, I'm not just the president of the hair club. But I'll just speak from our family's perspective. My daughter, so much unlike myself. She's actually a very well-balanced student, but she's really great at math and science. And this is just from my perspective again, but by fourth grade at Venable, which is a wonderful school that we loved and have had a wonderful
experience. Don't sugarcoat it. Just
I love Venable. But by the end of fourth grade, she was saying stuff like, you know, just sort of randomly saying stuff like, you know, boys are just better at math.
Whoa.
I was like, no, I think maybe boys are louder at math. Like, and a lot of the way that it was taught in that particular fourth grade class was appealing
to... That's a women's engineering program t-shirt waiting to happen. Boys aren't better at math, they're just louder.
A lot of the way that it was taught in that particular classroom was like, first off the line, like, shout out the answer. Like, we're just keeping it fast-paced and
like
keeping people interested. Yeah, which I think can be really effective. It just wasn't, for her, that wasn't her ideal. She's more of a ruminator, you know. But as I was saying to her at that time, real mathematicians, you don't necessarily have to be first. You just have to have the comprehension. But she always has the comprehension. So that was one of the reasons that we decided to look at alternatives for the middle school years, which I think are really key years in terms of developing your, developing your sense of self and putting yourself on a path towards... hopefully, you know, your maximal success in the future.
Absolutely.
So we were really impressed with what we saw. It's small class sizes. You have the same teachers all 4 years. So that's really special. So not only has she had Prol for English, but she's had Prol for English for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they grow with
your kids. Consistency is important.
It's cool. And they can speak, you know, and we just had our eighth grade conferences, and they can really talk to you about what your child has learned over the last 4 years or how they developed as a student. Mm-hmm. And as a learner, so it's for us. It's been a great experience.
Have you noticed that emphasis on STEM education in young women, particularly as you know, an educator, as a parent, and have you like stressed it as a point to like infuse that into the Village School more?
Village has an excellent math teacher who actually is also a friend of mine, Lindy Tassel. One thing that Lindy does is she started an all girls math tournament called, of course, it's like slipping my mind right now. Solve Like a Girl is the tagline, and it's every spring, and it's actually open to all the middle schools in the area, and they come together. The GEM tournament, that's what it is. Girls excelling in math. And that's just one example of the ways in which girls are.
Is there a hologram portion?
No, but there's a really cool
teach me Obi-Wan
build your STEM project thing where this year they drop stuff off of the gym roof at Walker or whatever. So Iris has been very well supported. Iris is my daughter. Has been very well supported as a STEM student, and
that's awesome.
I also find that her poise and confidence. In dealing, because they deal so closely with the same adults all 4 years, they're really taught to speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And they're really comfortable addressing, and you know, she looks people in the eye now. Now, I'm not saying that wouldn't have happened anyway. Maybe that's partly just her growing up a little bit, becoming more emotionally mature. But I feel like I attribute a lot of her poise and greater sense of self to this time.
It's true. Like, really when I've had teachers for, you know, a year or so, you don't have that same camaraderie as somebody that you have a class with and you learn again. Like my music teacher, like I could talk to about anything because I had her like for 4 straight years, but like other teachers, not so much. And it's just all part of like just that relationship building and just teaching people how to like engage in conversation. I think that's really important. But we got to do a drop.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about these kids who won this stuff because it's really important. And I hope they get lots of cake and ice cream today. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, my name is Kelly Vandilla. I am the assistant director on Death of a Salesman at Live Arts in Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
48 minutes past the hour if you're just tuning in. This is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown.
Homegrown.
I am David Von Strawn. That is Clinton Johnson on the boats. He's the EP. HDSE, and that is Mary Susan. She is a local author, theater artist, head of Jambalaya, where you just throw it all in and let it boil. Out comes perfection.
Yes, wow.
You just gotta leave it in for a while. You just gotta let it marinate, let it ruminate, treat it like you love it, and then it comes out and it steals the show. It's a perfect name for it at the Village School. So Fragments of the Future, talk about that. How long have you been doing this?
So Jambalaya was founded 10-ish years ago by Pearl Hartwell, who also founded Village School. He's the English teacher there. And Jambalaya is the only literary magazine by, for, and about middle school girls.
What?
Yes. So about 2 years ago, I took over as
the only in Virginia, the only in the U.S.?
As far as we know, is the only one in the U.S.
Whoa.
It's and like highlights without the condescension.
We're putting that on the cover until someone makes us take it back off. So I took over Jambalaya about 2 years ago, and I go in once a week, and I have a rotating group of 8 girls who serve as the editorial board. And of course, they're also welcome to submit. Yeah. So they each have a section. They help me to brainstorm content. They help me to, you know, encourage submissions. They help me to edit what we get. We have a really great time. I bring in speakers to talk to them. It's super fun. And it's also just very free form and, you know, like hilarious. So so Jambalaya, before I took over, used to run a short story contest that was open to girls of the entire area, like anywhere, county or city in this area, to submit to. And it's, you know, obviously it's a lot of work. And so it sort of had gone by the wayside. But we decided this year my club was like, let's bring it back. So we brought back the contest. And this year we named it Fragments of the Future. It's always been, the tradition is that it's always been a phrase with alliteration. So like tears on the tabletop, frosting on my fingertips. These are some of the other names in the past. But this year, the whole school submitted like lists of names, and then one of my club cycles went through all the different lists of names. They each gave their top 10 out of the group that they had, and then we did this like cage match, like vote off, and so we came down to Fragments of the Future.
Fragments of the Future.
And so the idea being, you've got to write a short story that it's only open to girls, middle school girls, grades four through eight, actually, because we have a fourth and fifth grade division and a sixth, seven, and eight.
Ma'am, that's discrimination.
I know, totally. Word up. Yes.
And weird, because fourth grade is not middle school.
That's the deal. Yeah. And you got to.
I want to write about friends.
Hey, I'm not going to stop you. I'm just not going to give you $100. They had to be 1,000 words long. They had to incorporate the phrase Fragments of the Future in some kind of way that was not just as the title.
Right.
Or like super clunky. Mm-hmm. It had to be skillfully integrated, and it had to have some bearing on the theme of the story overall. And we got over 100 submissions. And I had my friend David Plunkett, from all over, from like eight different schools. My friend David Plunkett, who is the head of the James Madison Regional Library System, is one of my judges.
The new head, right?
Yes, the new head. Yes, and he's doing a great job so far. To parents, village school parents who are also fiction writers and librarians. Edwina Herring was one of my judges as well.
Yay.
And
she's awesome.
Yes, she is awesome. And my friend Amanda Corman, who's also a fiction writer. So I had sort of Amanda, who works at the
Women's Initiative. We had Amanda on the show.
Yeah. So I had a pretty wide variety of judges reading the submissions, and we were able to handily, I would say, although it was a hard-fought battle, choose first, second, and third, and honorable mention in each of the two divisions. First place winners win $100.
What?
Second place, $50. Third place, $25. They all get gift certificates from New Dominion Bookshop, who is also hosting our reception today for the winners.
Yay, 2:30.
Yeah, 2:30. Yay, New Dominion. And the public is welcome. We're going to have cake. Really good cake.
Are they going to read their work?
They have been asked to read. And nobody's going to like twist their arm. But yes, I'm hoping that they will be very excited to read. Or at least persuadable.
Right. Do you want to share the names of the winners
yes,
just to give them some air love?
I would love to do that, actually. I'll just cheat and open to the contest page. So, first place in the fourth and fifth grade division is Isabel Wang.
Yay!
Who's in fifth grade at Charlottesville Catholic School. First place in the sixth, seventh, and eighth division. Sorry, I've lost my page. Oh, wait, I know what it is. I went too far. Is Vivian Wong from Village School in seventh grade.
Yay!
In second place for sixth, seventh, and eighth grade was Josephine McDonald in eighth grade at Village School.
Yeah, Village Middle School.
Yeah, Village School did a lot better in the older division, because actually the younger division has no Village School winners, and the older division is all Village School winners. So in case anybody thinks that only Village School kids are going to dominate, not necessarily.
Collusion, perhaps.
Not necessarily. And we did block all of the names and the affiliations for the judges, so the judging was blind.
Oh, I know about this young girl's writing racket that you guys are trying to run here in Charlottesville.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the cake is going to be a really good cake.
It's going to turn out that you all share the same lawyer. That's what I think.
So second place in fourth and fifth grade is Evie Pham, who's in fourth grade at Charlottesville Catholic
Evie
School.
Evie Pham!
Third place in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade was The Story January by Zoe Kusick, eighth grade Village School.
Yay!
Village School!
Third place for fourth and fifth grade was Time Keeps Ticking by Caroline Gress, fifth grade, Peabody School.
Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future.
Honorable mention for sixth, seventh, and eighth
Fragments
grade
of the future.
Is The Story Assassin.
Whoa.
About an assassin. Yeah, dumb. In case anybody has any illusions about what middle school girls are going to write about, these stories are not about puppies and rainbows.
I was going to say, there ain't no sparkle and glitter in this book.
A regrettable, in my opinion, lack of glitter. These are gritty, like, hard-hitting
stories. Maybe I didn't
say
ground rules, but this is cool.
I was amazed at the quality overall. All the entries that we got were actually, like, super amazing, but
isn't Assassin the name of the outlaw My Little Pony? That's that's the one that they don't usually bring back.
I mean, one pony's got to take somebody out and do it quietly if you need them to. Like
holes on the side, you know how they have the little like.
That's the one. That's the one I was like when there's a My Little Pony that's really causing trouble that just isn't going with the rest of the herd. They call in Assassin.
Assassin will take you down. Eliana Goluboff Schrager. who's in eighth grade at Village School.
Ileana!
And then honorable mention in fourth and fifth grade is the story called Obadiah, My Story, by Chloe Balin in fifth grade at Tandem Friends School. Funny story, sideline, didn't know this, found this out later. So Chloe is actually really best friends with my son, Murray, who is in fifth grade at Tandem. And Murray wants to name his son one day. He was planning to have Obadiah.
I didn't even know how to spell Obadiah when I was that age.
So
I'm just saying.
Chloe was teasing him about it, and then apparently it actually inspired her to write a story about a kid named Obadiah. So Obadiah, My Story, ended up winning honorable mention. Like, this is a small world.
Yeah.
It's funny how things happen.
That's so great. That's so great. So when's the next thing that you're going to do like this? When's the next, like, writing event that children can take part of or anything like that?
Well, the school year's wrapping up, so this is our final issue for the year. By the way, you can subscribe to Jambalaya. It's $20 a year. It's very reasonably priced for excellent artwork and writing quality. But next school year, we will run another short story contest along the same lines. We'll come up with some sort of alliterative phrase and 1,000 words and cash prizes and
shoot for the stars.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for sure.
Sasquatch and unicorns.
Yeah. That's not alliteration.
No, it's not, but we'll if I could have kept going,
Sasquatch,
I would have found the way to make
it. Snowmen.
Every one of your titles sound like a song from the 60s. Millie Susan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we got no rant. We're just going to take off. Clinton, I love you.
I love you, David.
Aw, man. Leslie, I hope you're feeling better. Get well. Rest your head. We're going to shoot it over to Rick Moore with Jim Duncan from Rest Nealty at the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking about real estate, latest, local, and national. Eileen French, Daniela Chadwick, Miller Murray Susan, thank you so much. And this is Homegrown. Peace.
All right, this has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guests, Eileen French and Eileen Chadwick. You probably already saw it said that. And Eileen French and Daniela Chadwick, and also Miller Murray Susan. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Any complaints about Homegrown should, of course, be directed to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tuchterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke. Legal services like a song. Coming up next, it's a Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with Rick Moore. His guest today is Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, who's going to be talking about the latest local and national real estate news. This is Homegrown. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.